Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Today, we'll attempt to sort out the good information from the bad and set the record straight on your good health. Healthcare and wellness issues can be so confusing these days with information constantly changing. Let us help you learn what you need to know. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Neil Nathan with co-host Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum.
Welcome back to the Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Neil Nathan, and I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and we will refer to ourselves from now on as just Jacob and Neil. And today I'm delighted to be also able to welcome to our show two superb osteopathic physicians, Dr. Alice Prescott and Dr. Jeffrey Greenfield, who are going to be joining us to talk about the very important subject, appreciating the value of osteopathic manipulation, what it can do for us in our work. And I'm going to have Alice and Jeff introduce themselves in just a moment. But first, I kind of wanted to share with our listeners, where some of you may already be, that I was first introduced to osteopathy in the wrong way back when I was a medical student in my first year. I went to the University of Chicago, and my dorm was located across the street from the Chicago Osteopathic Medical School. And when I would go to my teachers at the University of Chicago, and I said, what's an osteopath and what do they do and how are they like us and not like us? They merely told me that, oh, they're like chiropractors. You don't really want to have anything to do with them. I later discovered that that was a highly ignorant and foolish statement, had no reality whatsoever. And so today, as a part of our program, I'm hoping you will begin to understand the value of osteopathic medicine and what it contributes to the entire field of health and wellness. So without further ado, let me first have Alice, why don't you introduce yourself briefly to our listening audience, and then Jeff, do the same.
Well, I'm Dr. Alice Prescott. I work at Gordon Medical Associates with Dr. Nathan, and we're very much looking forward to having Dr. Jeff come here very soon. And I have been an osteopathic physician since 2003. I first got interested in osteopathic medicine doing my own cranial work as a massage therapist, actually. So that led me to go to osteopathic school. And I really enjoy using cranial and the many other osteopathic techniques that I learned to help people with everyday medical problems. So I'm consider myself a very eclectic practitioner because I do very subtle cranial work, but I also do manipulation like muscle energy techniques, more dense in moving the body. So, and I'm going to hand over the mic.
Jeff?
My turn. Yes, I'm Jeff Greenfield. I've been practicing in Manchester, New Hampshire for over 20 years and seated right now in the heart of the Lyme disease epidemic. My practice involves functional medicine, hands-on medicine, using osteopathic styles, particularly what we call cranial, but is really a total body evaluation and treatment. And, I met Neil about 30 years ago at a course, and we stayed friends since then and have studied various things together, and I meet him at many osteopathic conferences through the years. I come with a background where the military helped pay for my education, so I owe the Air Force a debt, and I trained in family medicine in the Air Force in a very rigorous program where we did a lot of ICU medicine and a lot of really chronic illness medicine. And when I started doing my own practice, I combine that with the hands-on work and have come to find that what people tell me and what's going on in their story shows up in their body to my hands and to our hands, and that as we start getting them well, that shows up too in the hands-on treatment and particularly the evaluation, and they become easier to treat. And on the other hand, if they're not doing well, that shows up too, and they don't even have to tell us sometimes. So I've actually tried to incorporate this hands-on as another sense in to help know where we're going in anybody with, you know, complicated chronic problems, or even the people who are much easier don't have that. So that's kind of what I do now, and I'm looking forward to coming out to Gordon Medical Associates and working with them and learning more in what they do.
Let me back up a little bit on the whole osteopathic subject so that our listeners can maybe get a better overview of what an osteopath really is and what an osteopath does. Osteopathic manipulation, and I am an MD who is an osteopath wannabe and have been for almost 40 years now. So I bring a different kind of a view to all of this. So from my perspective, when someone goes to an osteopathic medical school, they learn the entire complete curriculum that I learned, and in addition, they learn the entire field of manipulative medicine, which adds another dimension completely to what we're talking about. And osteopathy, from my perspective, and Allison and Jeff can chime in at any point, has a very unique and very profound philosophy, which was first voiced by the founder of osteopathic medicine, A.T. Still, in a very simple phrase, which is, the rule of the artery is supreme. And although that might seem simple at first, what Still was getting at, first of all, in a very direct way, is that when an artery is compressed or is there restriction of blood flow, that affects the body profoundly. And as a metaphor, he also meant that not only are we talking about restriction of flow through arteries or veins or nerves or lymphatics or the energetic flow throughout the body, the basic essence is an osteopath is supposed to look for restrictions of movement and flow and correct it to enable the body to heal itself. Is that a fairly correct way of looking at it?
That's really good, Neil. Yes, that's. And he also, I mean, the role of the artery being supreme, he said a lot of things in that order, but he also talked about if you have areas that aren't getting nourishment, you have to, and he said, water the withering fields. He used a lot of metaphors like that. But one of the things to mention is that Dr. Still, the founder, was an MD, and he searched for an answer to some medical dilemmas after he lost three of his family members to meningitis and was unable to help them through that. So he founded osteopathy after going deep, learning, and digging, not as a treatment for back pain and neck pain, but as a treatment, as an approach to treatment to help people regain health. The idea being we have our own drugstore in our body that we can use, the idea that we need to get arterial blood places, we need to get things that are waste products back and filtered, and we need to have this all balanced well so that the machinery can work right. And this was before we knew about the immune system and antibodies and all the little chemicals in our body that we think of as drug-like. So he was kind of revolutionary.
Right. Alice, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what's special or about osteopathic medicine is that it's a holistic view where you're not just with a body, but you're also working with the mind of that person, with the spirit of that person. Intention is important, and dialogue and in the healing process. And I think that the work of osteopathic medicine is sort of a medical analogy of field theory. So you can talk about working a specific artery, but actually it's the intention to heal that brings the body's own native healing mechanism and energy to bring more to bring normalcy or wholeness to a part.
Well, let's take an example to make it clearer to our listeners before we go to a break in a few minutes. Something simple that most people might not think of in this way could be, say, a pneumonia. Someone comes in with a pneumonia, and in conventional medicine, we would go, okay, if it's a bacterial pneumonia, we would provide an antibiotic, and that would be our treatment. But in the osteopathic model, and hopefully both of you can expand on it, you wouldn't only look at giving antibiotics, but how can we improve the immune system in terms of, can we, using our hands, stimulate the spleen to work a little bit better, to clear the infection? Can we mobilize the ribs? Can we mobilize the lungs? Can we help them to move more freely and easily, which would very, very clearly help speed up the whole process of healing from pneumonia? Meaning, it's a much more, from my perspective, profound and deeper way and holistic of looking at a pneumonia and how do we approach it.
So the only thing you didn't say, Neil, was moving the lymphatics.
Neil, you're making a pretty good wannabe.
Yes, sir.
Well, what I'd like to do, do I have a minute to go ahead and put the area in context for those looking at pain management and what's going on? How we set for time before the break.
Okay, go, Jacob.
Well, for those of you with pain, which means one out of four Americans, let's look at the context of how to address pain. Medically, it's addressed by throwing a few medications that are near useless. That's maybe 5 to 10% of what can help pain, that and surgery. But in real life, there's three key areas. You want to look at the biochemistry, such as muscle shortening, nerve injury, inflammation. You want to look at structural issues, spine alignment, range of motion, shortened muscles, even energy flow, such as the cranial sacral. And then you want the mind-body issues, buried feelings, intention, and belief. So all of these three areas, if you're going to address pain, when you bring all of these to bear, the effect is remarkable. We see this with fibromyalgia, where 91% of people improve, even more than that, by taking this approach. Now, Alice, let me ask, and Jeff, I know in medicine you have holistic MDs and standard. Neil is kind of an osteopathic wannabe. My impression is that has been that many osteopaths are MDs wannabe and have been losing the heart of osteopathy. Is this a misimpression I've been getting, or...?
No, but that would be a great subject for us to continue so that we can help our listening audience kind of decide if you wanted to have an osteopath as your physician, how would you go selecting him? And because there are osteopaths and then there are osteopaths, and they're not, some do not follow the model and some do. And I'd love to have Alice and Jeff comment on that in when we come back from our break.
Yeah, that's a really good subject. I'd love to comment on that.
Good. So at this point, I just wanted to thank our sponsors, Research Nutritionals, BioResource, and Metagenics, and our newest sponsor, Frequency-Specific Microcurrent, for making this program possible. Since I personally use these products daily in my practice, I'll be mentioning them when appropriate as our program unfolds. So let me start with welcoming Research Nutritionals as one of the proud sponsors of our program. Doctors turn to Research Nutritionals for its specialty immune, energy, and detox formulas to provide a healthier quality of life for our toughest patients. Known for conducting clinical research on its formulations, this is a favorite amongst physicians, myself included. Today, I would particularly like to comment on their product for pain, which is called Soothe and Relax, S-O-O-T-H-E, and Relax, R-E-L-A-X-X, which combines soft tissue, joint, and muscle support with the proprietary Relax complex to help take the edge off pain, but without putting patients to sleep. So please either call them toll-free at 1-800-755-3402 or go to researchnutritionals.com. And with that, we'll go to break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com. Do you or someone you love struggle with Alzheimer's disease or some other disorder? Many times, there is not an adequate support forum where you can learn from and discuss topics from top guest experts. Tune in to NeuroMatters, The Brink of Alzheimer's with Dr. Sam Brinkman. Although thought of as a disease that affects only older individuals, increasingly, symptoms are being found in people who are in their 40s and 50s. Get the answers. NeuroMatters airs live Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our program. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and we have the privilege today of having the two superb osteopathic physicians, Dr. Jeffrey Greenfield and Dr. Ellis Prescott, with us today to talk about osteopathic manipulation and its role in healing. I do want to remind our listeners that you can download the Voice America mobile app, and you can find us on iTunes, Google Play Time, and Kindle, all for free. We are live, and we would love to have you call in to our toll-free number. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792, or you can email me during the show at neilnathan@earthlink.net. So, to continue our discussion on osteopathic medicine, we wanted to distinguish different type of osteopathic practitioners, just as they're in medical doctors vary enormously in terms of their skill and scope of practice. Jeff, you wanted to jump in and talk about the difference between osteopaths and the kind of skills and services they can offer.
Yeah, I wanted to back up a little bit in one of the comments that was made about there are some people that practice the hands-on, more traditional osteopathic styles, and then there's osteopaths that practice more like MDs, or what we would call allopaths. What I can say to that is that is indeed true. There are family doctors out there who are DOs, doctors of osteopathies. There are surgeons and orthopedists. But there's an interesting phenomena that I have seen. When I came to Manchester back in 1991, there was a nephrologist who kind of greeted me, and he was a DO, trained in nephrology, and he had a side manipulation practice because he couldn't do it in his nephrology practice. Presently, there is a pediatric nephrologist at a local hospital who does osteopathic rounds in the pediatrics ward and in the NICU. there is a neurologist who is a DO who thinks this way and sends patients to me. So there are, if an osteopath is trained in an osteopathic school and they choose to practice and not do a lot of hands-on because of what their specialty is or their timing is, what they've learned about the hands-on and the integration of the musculoskeletal system, the nervous system, the entire body, and how it expresses itself is still in their mind, and they can think that way. So it's a more, these doctors tend to be already holistic in their way of thinking in general. So that's kind of where I wanted to go with that. And thank you on your pneumonia. I actually had a case of pneumonia yesterday that I kind of treated that way, so that was... They also used antibiotics. But.
So it actually applies. Alice, do you have any thoughts on that, different types of osteopaths?
I would say that the tradition is still holistic, and we touch our patients early on. We start learning techniques with the body, you know, first year. So we do just begin. We begin with body, and that's good. It's right, you know, as opposed to just beginning with concepts. So yeah, I think the training does give one a vent in that direction, even if they do go on to be, you know, emergency room, which is probably the last place you'll get an osteopathic treatment.
I did emergency
medicine. And yet we're trained in a way that we can go into any specialty. So they'll find us everywhere.
Let me take a couple of steps further, if I could. So within the osteopathic framework, you have a whole different bunch of styles of osteopathic manipulation, which vary from what we call direct thrust techniques, which patients may think of as somewhat chiropractic in nature, for example, meaning a fairly intense movement, to much, much, much more subtle movements, as you would have in cranial osteopathy. And then we have some of the newer schools that I know you're all trained in, biodynamic osteopathy. And I wonder if both of you could comment on that and help our listeners understand the wide range of touching and perceiving what's going on in the body with light touch, heavier touch, et cetera, because I think that's important.
Alice, or me? I'll take that first. So there's a lot of styles of hands-on treatment, and many were developed in osteopathic medicine, and a lot have filtered out into other professions, such as... physical therapy and massage therapy and craniosacral therapy. But a technique is only a technique. What we get taught in osteopathy and osteopathic medicine is a way of thinking, a way of viewing our patients as this entire mechanism, this entire person, and instead of aligning them, instead of doing a set of techniques to restore normal motion, restore as much health as we can get going in that person versus, oh, I'm going to align them. Oh, they have a bad hip. I'm going to use my hip techniques. Because it's not about the hip. It's not about alignment. It's about restoration of health. And Dr. Still... and I don't think I'll get this quote right. He says, to find health is the object of the physician. Anyone can find disease. And so that's kind of what we look at. Well, and so there are techniques, and you can be a person who uses what you call thrust or high velocity and get totally different results from a physical therapist or a chiropractor who does it because of the mindset to help.
Sure. Alice?
I think that in my practice where I'll use the full range, absolutely depends on the person and what it is I perceive that they need, what I'm going to use. So I'm on with Jeff. It's sort of a, it depends on the situation. There are times when a person just really needs a deep relaxation treatment, and for that I think cranial is the best. And there's other times, for example, with low back pain, where you just have to release the psoas, or it's just never going to let go. So, different techniques for different situations.
Well, let me ask a question, guys, for the listeners who are wondering, well, when should I see an osteopath? What kind of conditions? I know you're focusing on entire health, but for people who are listening, they have certain problems that they don't know. Should I see a chiropractor, an MD, a DO? Who should I see? What are some favorite conditions that you treat that you see really good responses to using the osteopathic approach you bring to bear? Now, Alice, do you want to go first on that?
I see a lot of chronic tension. And that is, you know, from every staff and every clinic I've ever worked in to the people that see me all the time for chronic disease, there's a lot of tension. I think that we live in our world, our culture, where there's a lot of anxiety. And I think we carry this in a way where certain muscles are tight. And I work deeply, and I also, apart from using straight osteopathic techniques, I also do injections to help release, and I would say that that's probably one of the biggest osteopathic tools I have in my kit.
So releasing muscle tension and muscle
Really releasing muscle tension. That can be myofascial release. It can be strain counter strain. It can be balanced ligament tension. I mean, so there's different names which might be too long to go into those, but yeah.
Okay. So, let me ask a question. In your training, are you getting much, for example, I talk about the SHINE protocol, which is increasing the flow of biochemical energy to the muscle by optimizing sleep hormones and treating infections, nutritional support, and exercise. How much is that area discussed as part of the osteopathic training?
I don't know. Yeah. I've been trained a long time ago, and it wasn't discussed, although still talked about mind-body nutrition way back when, so that's all been in there. But what I want to get back to the original, what do we treat? I put my hands on just about every single patient that walks in, and with a wide ranging of problems from headaches and back pain to three or four autoimmune diseases and multiple other issues, it guides me in diagnostics, but it also improves their health. And when we hit the right treatment, it's kind of like their body starts singing again, and I can feel that they're doing better. They get more bang for their buck out of a treatment. The other big issue is, and I wanted to expand on a little bit of what Ellis talked about, people come in with tension. Well, you know, if you have a chronic illness, you're tense. If you have a job, you're tense. If you have a bad marriage, you're tense. And usually in our society, we have a imbalance of our fight or flight nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system, kind of always on, which pushes our adrenaline and our cortisol. One of the things that an osteopathic treatment does in just about any style, but particularly the gentler styles, the cranial styles, biodynamic styles, they help restore the balance between the sympathetic fight or flight system and the parasympathetic digestive-like symptom, so that people aren't always pushing themselves, and that allows for an improvement in their health. And I know that I think some of your things, Jacob, help work on that sympathetic overdrive. And that's a huge, huge issue in my patients, you know, just getting the sympathetics down.
Because if you do, you sleep better. And if you digest better, you'll absorb the more nutrition that you need. including magnesium and other things that your muscles need to relax.
Indeed. And let me translate this medically for some of the listeners there with fibromyalgia who are tuning in. Most people with fibromyalgia are on adrenaline overdrive or sympathetic overdrive, and they exhaust that system. And because of that, they get bursts of constantly being on adrenaline, but they don't have the adrenaline when they need it. So although we're restoring energy and helping to balance a main control center called the hypothalamus, which is where that controls that those two systems, sympathetic, parasympathetic. A lot of the approaches, and when you're talking about cranial, I presume you're talking about Upledger's craniosacral therapy?
Absolutely not.
We're not.
Okay.
I think we will get to that in a bit. We need to start winding down to a break, good friends, and we're going to pick this up again afterwards. But first, I do want to, since we're talking about pain, I'd also like to mention one of our sponsors is that of BioResource. At BioResourceIncINC.com, they do make a particular product very relevant for this discussion called Inflamar, I-N-F-L-A-M-Y-A-R, Inflamar. It's an ointment which Picana makes, which helps to reduce inflammation, relieve arthritic pain, and make tissues heal faster. It is available in non-prescription form through BioResource, which is located in Sonoma County. This ointment consists of 8 natural ingredients to provide fast, reliable healing power. A clinical study conducted by medical doctors revealed that 97% of their patients using Inflamar showed noticeable improvement, particularly in things like sports injuries within 1 to 3 days. So please look for BioResource at 1-800-203-3775 as one of your sources for information on excellent products that will help with pain. And with that, we will go to break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
Are you struggling with loss in your life? Whether it's grief, personal healing, or serious life changers that you are dealing with, tune in to Voices for Healing with host Kathy Roberts. Everything that happens to us teaches us and gives us hope and possibility. Kathy and her guest experts will bring you the tools that you need to start the healing process. There are so many ways to transform loss. Where can we take you? Listen every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show. I'm Neil Nathan, your host, with my co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and we're joined by our colleagues, Alice Prescott and Jeff Greenfield, who are both practicing osteopaths, talking about osteopathy. And so the question, we have several that we raised just before the break. First question would be, what is the difference between the school of osteopathy that was taught by John Upledger and referred to by his name, and more standard osteopathic training. Jeff, did you want to?
Yeah, let me back up. So John Upledger, who passed away recently, was an osteopath, and he took some of the concepts that were already in osteopathy, and he developed a model that he called craniosacral therapy, and trademarked that name, and thought that not enough people were doing work like that, and he brought it to the masses. He was able to teach his model to massage therapists, physical therapists, Rolfers. The problem is they're not osteopaths. So an osteopath who gets trained in osteopathy looks at things a lot different. And I'll back up a little bit. Andrew Taylor Still was the first osteopath. One of his students was a man named William Sutherland. William Sutherland, back in the early 1900s, came up with a cranial concept while viewing a skull that was taken apart, and to make a long story short, he looked at it and thought it was made for movement and said, there's no way it can move, I'm going to disprove that. In the interim, he kind of found that there was movement when there shouldn't have been movement. And he came up with a whole style of evaluation and treatment that got called cranial osteopathy, or we have to call it osteopathy in the cranial field, to distinguish it from Upledger work, which is not that. But it's this involuntary set of movements that occurs all through the body and can move tissues and bones and membranes and ligaments that as a practitioner or as other we can tune into and get information and use to help drive a treatment. There are various ways to approach treatment using this cranial mechanism, the alternating movements that Dr. Sutherland talked about. You can be fairly mechanical and help things move that weren't moving, or you can wait for the movement and let it help you. One of my early teachers, Dr. Jellis, who did a lot of interpretation on what Dr. Sutherland talked about and had teachers who actually studied with Dr. Sutherland, came up with a viewpoint of osteopathy that he termed biodynamic. And without getting into too much about what biodynamic view of osteopathy in the cranial field is, he came up with this idea that there are effects of what Dr. Sutherland called primary respiration, or whatever the force is moving the body that nobody can tell what it is yet. And these effects show in tissue movement, fluid in the body movement, and almost an electrical field that Dr. Sutherland called potency. And the practitioner can feel these and use them as a guide to what's going on, but also as a guide for treatment. In a biodynamic view of osteopathy, the tendency is to really synchronize with these effects, to synchronize with something that's greater than these effects, let the patient come to what we call a neutral and allow the treatment to come from that intelligence in the body that the patient has from the beginning of their time or their embryological mechanism or their health mechanism, and let that show after taking out some of the noise from everyday life. And including in that is this balancing of the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, the different feels that you feel in a patient start to homogenize like homogenized milk. And then once you reach this point, which might take 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, this point called neutral, the treatment starts in the patient. And we, as practitioners, tend to... Our object is to hold the neutral rather than do the treatment. So that's the biodynamic concept.
Let me try to expand on that from my MD/wannabe osteopath perspective. When I first took my first cranial course, it was in 1975, and I didn't even really know what an osteopath was at that point. And when I left my first course, not only did I know what osteopaths were, but I was profoundly impressed by the training that allowed them to perceive at a level that I had not thought to be possible. And what I was taught was to just rest my hands lightly on a head, although you can use any part of the body as a part of that, and feel an innate motion to that area. And when I started, my skills were so rudimentary that all I could feel was a motion of the skull itself. And over the years, I began to realize there was motion of fluid under the skull and fluid in the membranes of the brain itself, the dura and the pia and the arachnoid. And then there were other motions which you're alluding to, embryological movements, energetic movements that are primary in the body, layer after layer of deeper and deeper ways of perceiving that became more complicated. So when I first started, I thought, okay, this isn't so hard. You just fix what needs fixing. And then as I began to understand the biodynamic model, it was, if you put your hands on this, after a while, your skills will develop to the point that there's so much wrong that you don't even know where to start. Well, do I start on the membranes? Do I start on the fluid? Do I start on the bone? Do I start on the energetic system? So in a sense, you feel so much that even knowing where to start becomes more difficult. So listening to the body, going to that point that Dr. Jealous calls neutral, is a way of syncing with the being that you're working with and letting them tell you what level or layer you ought to be on and honoring that and staying with it. The other piece to that would be many people who fix things with their hands are looking for things called lesions, which is a technical word for something that feels wrong, and fixing the lesions. And in the biodynamic model, it becomes clear that some of these lesions are actually compensations. And so if you fix a compensation, you may actually be moving that person down the wrong road. And so the goal is to be in close enough tune with that being and what they're energetically telling you that you can actually fix what needs fixing or let it fix itself rather than jumping in and fixing everything that you perceive to be wrong. Do I even vaguely have that right?
I really like that explanation. It kind of brought out some of the things I got technical with. Yeah.
Well, and does it sound a little different than what most people are going to see at their regular MD medical office?
The model is completely different than what you would get at a conventional medical office, because at its deepest level, it's about listening, not interrupting, but really listening to that being and trying to hear what it has to say. The model that was used when I was first studying was, and this may sound a little mystical, but I'm really okay with that, is that I'm going to have their higher physician talk to my higher physician and get together, and I will get out of the way so that they can figure out what they need to do and get that done.
That's true.
Yep. And it's been called attunement in other models.
Yeah,
it's basically simply tuning into the individual. But here's the key difference. What you're doing is you're trusting in the person's own innate ability to heal, where in medicine we are trying to invalidate, negate the patient's, or the person, even the word patient can be nasty, ability to heal. If the person thinks they can get themselves better, we call it the placebo effect, and we imply if they got themselves better, they were crazy in the first place. So it's a key difference in between trusting the own person's innate healing ability versus it's only the doctor. You can only heal through us. Anybody else who heals you is a quack. If you can heal yourself, you're crazy.
And I'll take it one more step because you bring something up. So it's not only the person's innate ability to heal themselves, but it's really the ability of the natural world to express its beauty, its health. When there are pictures of when you put one density of fluid into another density of fluid, you get this picture of that looks like how the brain forms. And so there are these things that happen in fluid dynamics in the natural world that mirror us. We're still in the natural world. We think we're tapping into that ability, that connection with nature. And we think that the natural world and the nature in us and the way our system is designed is flawless and lesion free initially, and the genes, as they start expressing themselves, create the lesions in the field. So it's just a little bit, and if we can get beyond that, we can actually have the health express itself.
That's interesting. It comes to mind as you speak. It feels almost like the evolution of the natural wise woman. Neil, go ahead.
Okay, now we're going to need to go to break shortly. So I think that was poetically expressed, and we'll come back to that when we do come back from the break. But first, a couple of messages from two more of our sponsors. First, I'd like to recommend to you the company Metagenics, which is one of the oldest and best research supplement companies on the market. I encourage you very much to go online at metagenics.com to look for all of their fine materials. For this particular discussion, I'd like you to be aware of their product, Osteovantiv, OsteoVantiv, which is a particular natural anti-inflammatory which helps to relieve pain and can move you forward in your journey. The second company, which I'm happy to bring on board as a sponsor for us, is that of frequency-specific microcurrent, which is a technology which can do some absolutely amazing, almost miraculous things. We'll be talking more about that as we move along in our program. But particularly in terms of cranial manipulation or work, that these very, very gentle electrical frequencies are capable of helping to free up restrictions, scarring in the dura or pia or arachnoid tissues to allow a cranial treatment to proceed further, especially when it gets stuck. There are specific frequencies for the dura at 39 and 13, which are just numbers reflecting certain types of energy that really allow us to move this along. So let me commend to our listeners www.frequencyspecific.com for much more information. And with that, we will go to break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
How is your health? Do you want to know more about it? Every day there are new technologies, procedures, and healing techniques coming forward. To understand them, tune in to Speaking of Health with Dr. Michael Cudlis. Our guests come from different backgrounds in the fields of health and healing. We'll discuss new realities and modalities, from chiropractic to metagenics. It's all designed to improve your quality of life. Speaking of Health is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our program. I'm Neil Nathan,
joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, and our two osteopathic guests today, Dr. Jeffrey Greenfield and Dr. Alice Prescott. And just before we went to break, I brought up the subject of frequency-specific microcurrent. And Jacob, you had some comments on that.
Let me find some subtle way to put it. It is friggin' outstanding. Okay, we'll put it that way. What you're doing is using microcurrent. And we've used it in a lot of ways where we've stimulated with TENS units and things. And basically, it's either like taking a squirt gun to a forest fire or giving a bazooka to a three-year-old, depending on who's been using different things. But the frequency-specific microcurrent takes it to a whole other level. They really set the frequency based on what the issues are. And it uses a whole area of biophysics, half of the healing arts that have been largely ignored. We've been seeing people with severe chronic nerve pain and other problems who are devastated. Nothing was helping them. And they're getting better with frequency specific. It was developed by Dr. Carol McMacken, who's a chiropractor. So it's kind of fun. We have an MD, we have MDs, we have DOs, you know, have a chiropractor. She was married to David Simons, who wrote the Trigger Point Manual with Dr. Tuvel. He was an MD. And you're seeing a coming together of a lot of different fields to create a whole novel approach to things. There are over 1,000 practitioners doing frequency specific around the country. I just strongly, for those of you who have chronic pain, that other things have not been able to help, find a frequency-specific practitioner. Neil, maybe we could talk about how to find an osteopathic practitioner who thinks like Alice and Jeff as well, who have that kind of a mindset. Do you guys want to?
Excellent segue. Okay, so let's say I'm a listener and I'm going, well, that kind of sounds like something I'd like to experience. How would they find a biodynamic or cranial osteopath?
I think anyone that is doing biodynamic or cranial osteopathy seriously is going to include that in any of their advertisement about what they do. I'm proud of my cranial training, so I never hesitate to tell people that I do it.
Is there a website that has a list of folks?
There's two websites that at least two that have practitioners listed. One is the Cranial Academy, and it's one word, cranialacademy.org, and they have a listing of physicians. If you enter your, I think if you have to enter your zip code and your name, so that's the cranialacademy.org. And then for a biodynamic practitioner who's gone through the majority of the training with Dr. Jealous and his faculty, it would be jamesjealous.com. That's jamesjealous.com. Just as the last name is like Jealous. And that has a listing of people who have completed the majority of the coursework in the biodynamic field and where they're located.
Excellent. And can I ask a question near and dear to my heart? Both of you, what approach would you recommend for people with fibromyalgia? I know that it's not a specific to a disease, but what have you found most important and how helpful have your approaches been for people with fibro pain?
Underlying sources of causes for inflammation have to be addressed, and those can be autoimmune, they can be infectious. There may be a hypercoagulability as a result of that inflammation. Natural things to reduce the blood's tendency to coagulate are good, like enzymes. Massage is always good because a lot of that soreness is local tissue hypoxia and buildup of lactic acid. That's sort of my first thoughts.
Let me take a moment to comment that both Dr. Prescott and Dr. Greenfield are a little bit atypical of osteopaths in that they not only have a profound hands-on part of their practice, but they combine that with a functional medicine approach that is holistic. So they are, to answer your question, Jacob, they are always looking for all of the components
of inflammation, what's causing it, how do we treat it, and using their hands to further that approach both diagnostically and therapeutically. And both Dr. Prescott and Dr. Greenfield are available by appointment at Gordon Medical Associates. That's gordonmedical.com. You can read their bios. You can learn more about them. And I would certainly encourage any of you, if you're interested in having the experience with Alice or Jeff, to go to that website for further information and making appointments.
Yeah, for those in the Northern California area, especially where the clinic is located, let me mention a few quick biochemical things, herbal things for the pain and for the inflammation. Curcumin, if you have a highly absorbed one, which most are not, is a superstar in this area. You were talking about blood thinning for the inflammation with nattokinase, boswellia, which is also known as frankincense, and then DLPA, which raises our own endorphins. There's an awesome product called Curamin, C-U-R-A-M-I-N. Give it 6 weeks, but you'll see effects very quickly, which has been a pain relief miracle for people. There's End Pain, which is another herbal mix with a willow bark, boswellia, cherry. And then there's a topical called Comfrey. Alice, Jeff, I don't know if you've tried any of these. The Comfrey topical, it used to be a problem because it had a mix of a bad thing and good things in it. The bad part's been removed. It has been an amazing topical cream for people with pain. Comfrey used to be called
Biddle. We're going to need to wind down at this point, all of those being excellent suggestions, and I know that we have so much more to talk about pain that we will include it in many more of our upcoming shows. So please tune in next week when Dr. Teitelbaum and I will be talking about intestinal health, the importance of understanding food allergies and intestinal dysbiosis. And we will go into that in a lot more detail next week. Thank you for listening. Please join us and please be well.
Thank you again for joining us for The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please join Dr. Neil Nathan and co-host Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And this week, apply what you've learned today to enjoy better health.